We're going to open up our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting to read at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I've shared with the church before, and I will share it with them again and with us again, because I think they're really important for us to note, is what we would consider to be our values. You might say that's a curious thing, churches naming values. I think it's really important for us to do. And these values I've articulated as I have reflected upon the life of this church. As we have sought to follow Jesus, what are those key attributes, what are those key things that seem to make up what we are together? And we've talked about, and I reflected particularly last week, about Jesus, in a sense, being our core value, our centre, our heart. Everything that we do comes from our love of Jesus. We are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples. That's at the top of the list. I mentioned this before. I'm struck always when I see either in a church or on a church website, you know, I look up either our values or what we believe. Have you ever been to that kind of website and you've looked it up? And they start with something other than God. You know, now I won't say what they start with, but I'm staggered. People start with something other than God. And I want to say the reason we start with Jesus is because we know God because of Jesus. We begin with Jesus. And it's through Jesus that we know God. And so we commit ourselves to Jesus because we want to know God. And we seek to be his disciples. So it's not just about arriving and giving our life to Jesus and saying, right, we're believers, we're safe now, we're okay. It's about a lifelong journey, discipling, learning Jesus as our master. The second of the values that I've articulated is that of welcome. We're committed to welcoming all and making a safe place. And I thought, wow, it was great to get that report from the Mystery Worshipper people this week, because it was about welcome, making sure that we welcome people and making this place a safe place for people to be real, to be vulnerable, to learn about God and to begin their journey of following after Jesus. And I'm going to reflect on that a little more in a few moments. The third of the values is that of community. We're committed to making authentic relationships, vulnerable yet available to one another. Authentic relationships so that we don't put on a mask all the time. I know that's difficult to do, but we don't put on a mask too much. But we say, this is me. This is the struggle I'm having. Some days I believe, some days I don't. Somebody said to me a couple of weeks ago that their faith journey kind of went up and down. And then it went back up again, and then it kind of plateaued, and then it went somewhere else, you know. And that's true. If we're real, if we seek to create community, that's where we are real with one another. Inclusive. We acknowledge that everyone has an intrinsic value created and loved by God. So it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your status in life is, what qualifications you've got, how wealthy you are, whatever, where you live, but we commit ourselves to honour all who come across our paths and say, you're as equal before God as I am. And then the value of involvement, recognizing that everyone has been gifted, everyone has ability. We're all encouraged to find our right seat, the place that fits for us. It might not be what somebody else wants us to do, because there's always things to be done in church. But being able to find the right seat, the seat where we sit and we go, not a literal seat, but metaphorically, a seat where we can sit and say, this fits for me. This is who I am. Because I believe once we discover who we are and we discover our right seat, because God has made us to be that person, we will be more blessed and be more of a blessing to others if we do that thing. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. And then finally, and this really tracks all the way through, journey. Together we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. That's really important. To stop talking about people having arrived. To stop talking about the idea that once you've committed your life to Jesus, as I did in November 1977, but to stop talking about that as the beginning and the end of my Christian life. But actually say that was just one key part of my Christian journey. But I am journeying, I am a disciple from that day to this. And so these are the values that I have articulated. And today I want us to reflect, just think about using the words of Jesus to think about what this means. Welcome. We are committed to welcoming all and making a safe place. Now, why do we welcome? We welcome because Jesus has welcomed us. We welcome others because we ourselves have been welcomed. And Jesus, in the scripture that we read, in verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus has welcomed us. We welcome others because we ourselves have been welcomed. In terms of our reflection upon this verse, we have right at the beginning an invitation and a welcome. Jesus says, come to me, come to me. And this, as we read the life of Jesus in the Gospels, what we discover is that this is very much the way of Jesus. We know right at the beginning of the Gospels, there are stories about how Jesus walked. And as he walked along the shore of a lake, he saw James and John. He saw Peter and John, Peter and Andrew. Who were there fishing, and he said to them, James and John, Peter and Andrew, come, follow me. And it was a very clear invitation, a challenge as well, but an encouragement. Come, make a journey with me. I welcome you to be with me. And it is the way of Jesus to invite and to welcome. And that's important for us to note. And Jesus says to those who are listening at this particular point, and he says to us, come to me. Come to me and make a journey with me. But even as we say that, I'm aware, as Jesus says to us, come to me, there needs to be an ability within us to listen. To listen, to hear the voice of Jesus. To be aware that God, in a deep and profound way, is saying to us as individuals, you come and follow me. Come to me. And I don't know if you've had that awareness. If you've been aware of God just very gently sometimes, stronger at others, saying to you, I know who you are. I love you absolutely as you are. Now come. Put down what you're doing. You come and follow me. We welcome others because we ourselves have been welcomed. And the way of Jesus is that of invitation and welcome. And he says to us, come to me. Sometimes we hear the word of Jesus come to me, because we listen to the journey of others. And I'm sure you've done this, but, you know, when people have said, well, this is my experience of God. Maybe you can remember a time when you didn't go anywhere near church and you heard somebody else talking about their experience of being a Christian, trying to make sense of what it means to follow after Jesus. And maybe it was as you heard about the spiritual journey somebody else was making that you said, I sense something myself. And you would identify that now as the voice of Jesus just gently and graciously saying to you, come, come to me, come follow me. And you didn't have all the answers. You weren't really sure what you were doing, perhaps. You didn't know the words of the hymns. You didn't know where the readings were in the Bible or anything. But you said, this is a beginning for me. Come to me. And that's important. It is the way of Jesus to invite and welcome. But of course, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. A rhetorical question. How many of you today are feeling weary and burdened? It's all right. Don't put your hands up. Yeah. Haven't got the energy to put your hand up yet. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And right there's an identification of need. They're saying, I need somebody other than myself. I'm not complete in myself. And we can say of ourselves, even those of us who would say, we would trace our own journey and say, yeah, I've heard the invitation of Jesus. I've begun the journey. I've been welcomed by him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And yeah, even today we feel weary and burdened because of everything that life is throwing at us. We feel weary and burdened. And so we step back, as it were, and we hear for ourselves, as it were, for the first time, the invitation of Jesus. And we don't pretend that we know anything. We don't pretend that we're somehow mature in the faith, but we come back to the point of beginning and we hear these words as if for the first time. You see, when Jesus spoke these words, he was speaking particularly to people who are tired because they've been walking without God. He was speaking to people who are tired because they'd lacked the wisdom of God in their lives. And we can bring ourselves to that point and say, yeah, I'm not so arrogant that I think I know everything. I come to that point again and I hear these words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Then I say, yeah, Lord, I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm burdened. I'm weighed down by life. I'm weighed down by the person I am, by the things I do, by the attitudes in my own heart. And I hear these words, they're like fresh running water. Just, they're good words for me. And this is the way of Jesus, to invite us and to welcome us. And to say, it's not about suddenly knowing everything, but it's just about beginning a journey together. We welcome others because we ourselves have been welcomed. That's why it's a key value for us. We've been welcomed by Jesus and it's the way of Jesus. Well, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and then he gives a promise, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It is a gift of rest. Jesus is talking about refreshment for our souls. He's talking about something that is not just having a night's sleep, although sometimes we long for the night's sleep. But it's not just that. It's about something deep, something profound in our souls, a rest that comes from being with Jesus. Jesus is able to say to his disciples, come away with me and rest. Come away with me and rest. And I wonder, maybe we need to hear the invitation and the welcome of Jesus more often, where he says to us, this is not about who you are, your status, where you've come from, or anything. It's just the loving words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And this is my promise. You'll find rest. You'll find rest as you come to me. And it may be today that we just think, yeah, my weariness, my burdens, I'm not going to be undone simply by getting a good night's sleep or a week away in a flashy hotel. Is that a hint? You know. But you say, actually, my weariness is much deeper than that. It's much more profound than that. And I need to hear the invitation of Jesus again. I need to know that Jesus welcomes me. He doesn't ask you to sort your life out first or anything. And that's a great mistake we have made, I think, in the church, is to communicate to people outside that somehow they need to be good or something to come into church, that somehow people in church are better than them. You know, I think that's a great mistake, because I'm certainly not better than anybody else outside. I've just got a relationship with Jesus. So I'm trying to work it out. I'm trying to make sense of it. I still have bad days. I still get depressed. I still, you know, lose my faith. And it's all part of a journey I'm making. And I hear these words as refreshment for me. The promise, I will give you rest. Well, that sounds great. But then we have to move on. Because Jesus talks about the way in which we can have rest. Now, I quite deliberately use the words the way. Do you remember what we read right at the top of the service? Jesus said, what did I say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these are key words about our understanding of Jesus. If we want relationship with God as Father, and to know our heart's true home with God as Father, then we must come through Jesus. As a friend of mine once said to me, there are many ways to Jesus, but there's only one way to the Father. Do you get that? There are many ways to Jesus. It's not about religion, it's not about creed, it's not about culture. There are many ways to Jesus, but there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. And he says, this is the way. How are you to know rest? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the promise. Well, what is the way? How do you get it? Well, what does he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Does that sound good? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's how you find the rest that Jesus offers to you. Well, I looked on the internet. Can I find a picture of a yoke? And I thought, gosh, real struggle to find pictures of yokes. But there you go. Here is a picture of a yoke, just there. And you can't see it very well. But basically, what we've got, two oxen there. Oh, the yoke, I spelt it wrong. Maybe that's why I couldn't find it. I spelt wrong. Shall I quickly change that? Yeah. The center of an egg is what we're looking for. No. It should be Y-O-K-E. But here's the yoke. And it starts over here, goes all the way across here. And it's this big piece of wood. And what it is this yoke. It's not the egg yolk, but the wooden yoke. The wooden yoke basically keeps these two oxen together. And they can go up and down the fields. They can plow. They can harvest, do whatever they do. But they do it together, and they are connected together. And that's the key thing. Let me move on, quick. Take my yoke upon you. But you get the idea. There are two people, and they are together. Could I borrow you, Steve? Yeah. Can I? Okay. And here we go. You just put your arm around me. Okay. Now, we can be yoked together. Okay. So if I say, right, let's go over here. And I can determine what we're doing. Are you okay with this?
Oh, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah?
You take the lead.
Yeah, it's not talking about eggs. We're talking about yolk, okay? So there's a sense in which we are yoked together. Wherever I go, Steve follows, because I'm bigger and stronger. Okay. It's all right, well done. You can sit down. Do you get the idea? That's what a yoke is. Oxen yoked together. A wooden yoke. And wherever the big oxen, the stronger oxen, wherever the more mature oxen goes, the smaller, more immature, the younger, the other one follows. So Jesus says, how are you going to know this rest? Is it just that I can hold my hands up to God and say, just give me rest? That's not what he says. He says, come to me, invitation and welcome. All you who are weary and burdened, makes a promise, I'll give you rest. How does he do it? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So we have to take a yoke. So effectively what we have to do is stand with Jesus. We have to stand next to Jesus. We have to be connected with him. We have to be yoked together with Jesus. I wonder sometimes when the younger oxen was yoked to the more mature oxen, whether that younger oxen sometimes felt, God, I've done this field a few times. Can't I just go home? Do I have to do this? Do I have to turn this way? I fancy something in that field over there. I can't, but of course couldn't. Because they were yoked. And we make a choice. We make a choice to be yoked to Jesus. Because we know that as we are yoked to Jesus, as we're linked with him in relationship, we will walk his way. And Jesus says, this is the way you will know rest. Now, a journey awaits us. It's not just one moment that makes the difference. It does influence it, but there's a journey and work is involved. But Jesus is always by our side as we journey together. And Jesus is the one who is leading us. He's guiding us. He's inspiring us. He's encouraging us. But this is a journey we make together. That is the way. That is the way we come to know rest for our souls. And you say, well, I've missed out on this. Because I've always thought all you had to do was pray. I've always thought all I had to do was read the Bible. I always thought that there was some kind of magic that I could get rest. That's not what Jesus says. If you're weary and burdened and you have this deep and profound awareness that you need God, well, you must yoke yourself to Jesus. And say, I do this freely of my own free will, and I will walk with him. That his values might become my values. I might be changed by him. I will learn to walk in his way. Well, that is the way. What is the truth? And we need to note the truth about Jesus is this. I am gentle and humble in heart. I can well imagine, you know, if we were yoked together, you know, I might suddenly, the sense of power, Steve, might suddenly go to my head. And I think, well, I am controlling Steve. This is great. Would you like that? No. You know, but it could go to my head and I could think, this is fantastic. I'm controlling them. Because they're yoked and they voluntarily yoked themselves to me. They will do whatever I want them to do. So what does Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That is the way. But this is the truth. I am gentle and humble in heart. I will never manipulate you. I will never harm you. I will never lead you astray. I will never do anything with you that is not good for you. And that is the truth about Jesus. He has welcomed us. Come to me. He's given us a promise. I'll give you a rest. Right? Here's how you get the rest. Yoke yourself with me. You'll learn from me. I'll never let you down. I will never manipulate you. I'll never do anything to harm you. And that's the truth. And we need to know that. And it may be that we struggle with that ourselves. But we need to know that Jesus we can trust. And that is the truth. He will lead us into the fullness of life. And what he says then is, as we do this, we will find rest for our souls. As we do this, we'll find rest for our souls. And you say, well, hang on, you know, I thought this would be a quick process. No way. It's a lifetime. It's a journey. Your whole life of following Jesus, of going his way. And then you'll find rest for your souls. As I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus is able to say to his disciples, after they've been working hard, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. And get some rest. And it's the same word that Jesus uses here about a deep, profound, refreshing rest. Come with me by yourself. And that's where we discover more about working with Jesus, about him being our master, about us saying, well, wherever you want to go, whatever your values are, I will adopt those because I know I will find rest for my soul. Well, I've shared about our values. Talked about Jesus particularly last week. We talk about Jesus every week, but talk about Jesus last week. About Jesus being the heart of our faith. About Jesus being the one who's been raised from the dead. And because of the facts of history, we have to bow the knee to him and acknowledge that he is the one God has chosen and appointed over us. Today we reflect on welcome. And it is the way of Jesus. We welcome others because we ourselves have been welcomed. We hear his invitation. We hear his welcome. We hear his promise. And we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we give ourselves to follow him. Let's take a moment to pray together over that. Father, we thank you that you do indeed invite us and welcome us to live with you and to journey with you. We thank you that you've promised that we will find rest for our souls as we do that. Father, would you speak deeply, profoundly into our hearts today, so that in amongst all the words and the humour and the laughter and the reflection and the thinking and the pictures and the ideas, in amongst all of this morning we would hear what might be the still small voice of God. Come to me. Come follow me. Father, would you give us courage that we might take a step today to yoke ourselves to Jesus and to follow after him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.